This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
That was the Milkman, Milton Williams. And his old team just gave up a very fancy touchdown to the San Francisco 49ers in their wild card game down in Philly. A double reverse pass from, who threw that?
Jawan Jennings.
The dart. Hitting Christian McCaffrey right in stride, getting in the end zone, and giving the Niners a one-point lead here as Jalen Hurts and the Eagles try and take it back down and get the lead back. We'll see if they're able to do it. We'll keep you posted on what's going on in that game here, and Shine will give you an update about it when we get to trending at 7:15. But right now, time for my favorite segment in all of radio. That, of course, is the Top Ted List.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Top Ted List.
Okie dokie, it's pretty simple. If you're first time listening, the Top Ted List is Shime and I just firing questions over here at Ted Johnson, and he'll answer them as best he can, or he'll get mad and storm out. One way or the other, we'll have some good radio here. And we'll go ahead and start with question number one. Ted, what do you remember the most about the run-up to your first playoff game, which was in 1996 in the division round against the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Very easy to remember this one because this was my first. And I'll never forget, we played our first game in the division round was against the Steelers at home. That was the fall game, I believe. It was the game where first play, Drew Bledsoe to Terry Glenn. But if you remember, the night before, the number one seed, or maybe it wasn't the one seed, but it was the team that everybody was scared of in the AFC, the Broncos, lost to the Jaguars. And once we saw that, that gave us a ton of energy, and we went out and we just throttled. My man Cordell Stewart was the quarterback for the Steelers at the time, and we put them down pretty handily. That was a great memory. That was my first playoff game against the Steelers.
Broncos were 13-3 that year. Elway and
they beat
Terrell
us at
Davis,
home really pretty easily, and we were on the cover of SI. I'll never forget the following week, and it was an embarrassing loss, and so. We were quite happy with the Jags taking care of it because we got to play the Jags in the AFC Championship game, if you remember, and had a big win against them to go to the Super Bowl.
Ted, playing the Chargers tonight, does the West Coast to East Coast travel really affect an NFL team?
The only thing that affects it is the weather, I would say. Warm weather teams going to have to play cold weather teams, I think, is more of a factor than West to East. And I will say this, though. The West Coast teams playing on the East Coast and a night game almost benefits the West Coast team.
Yeah.
Because
it feels earlier, right?
Because the body clock is more normal for them, where the East Coast team, it's the game starting essentially at 11 o'clock at night. So it's almost kind of in a weird way a wash when you consider the cold team is playing later at night than the warm team is playing at the normal time. So it's going to be interesting to see how these two teams start the game anyway.
Ted Johnson, who are your favorite and least favorite all-time Chargers?
You know, my favorite is, hands down, Junior Seau. I love Junior. Junior was, he went to my rival high school. He went to Oceanside High School. I went to Carlsbad. We were right next to each other. He came to my senior high school football banquet and then asked if I wanted to work out with him the next day. The greatest thing ever. He was all amazing. Junior Seau came into the league 5 years before me, and he retired 5 years after I retired. He played for 20 years. Tragic, absolutely tragic what happened to him.
Sad.
If you've ever met Junior, he had more energy and was more positive than anybody in the world. And he had a heavy burden. I'm going to answer. I don't have a bad Chargers because I want to talk about Junior.
Okay.
But he had a lot of pressure on him. He was, he's Samoan. In the Samoan community, very close knit down there in San Diego, and so he had a lot of pressure to be a lot of things for a lot of people. And what happened to him, it broke my heart. But Junior Seau, easily, by far, my favorite Charger.
We talked about the coaching carousel in the NFL here in the offseason. One guy who actually played yesterday and lost, there's rumors he might lose his job soon, and that would be Matt LaFleur. Do you think Green Bay fires Matt LaFleur, Teddy?
I'm going to say no, because you look at his records there. He's been a coach there for 7 years, 13-3, 13-3, 13-4, But then it goes 8-9, 9-8, 11-6, 9-7-1 this year. He's got a winning percentage of 654. I feel like that's a franchise that likes stability.
Yeah.
And so my feeling is he'll get another shot, but patience is wearing thin with these.
Especially because you're not winning in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It matters.
Yeah, it's just, and if you compare it to kind of Sean McDermott, Sean McDermott's been in Buffalo for 9 years, and he's got double-digit wins the last seven. But, you know, has never made it to, the AFC Championship game?
No, he never made it to the Super Bowl.
Right, it's been an AFC Championship game. So, I think those are two comparable kind of guys in their situations.
All right, Ted, what's the biggest on-field difference between regular season and postseason football?
Football is the exact same in week one as it is in the playoffs on the field. The only thing is, it's just pressure. Pressure is the only difference. Otherwise, the game's just as fast. It's just as physical. There's no difference on the field in the playoffs versus regular season.
You have talked many times about Drake May's skip and rip.
Yeah.
What was your favorite Drake May throw or best throw of Drake May's from the year?
Okay, my favorite throw, my favorite play, and my favorite throw were both in the same game, ironically. Oh. But my favorite throw from Drake May was in the Tampa Bay game. If you remember, Kyle Williams had 72-yard touchdown. He's streaking across from the left side to the right side. Drake May's getting hit as he's throwing the ball from his right. So he throws it across his body down the field and puts it perfectly in the hands of Kyle Williams, who runs in for a touchdown. That was the most beautiful pass I've ever seen. My favorite play came in that game on 4th-and-1 on the 1 yard line right before halftime with no time left. Steph Diggs touchdown.
That was
in
such
the back
a good
of
catch.
The corner. I mean, ballsy call, too.
Yeah, it was.
To go for it on 4th-and-1. That was my favorite play, and my favorite catch was in that same game as well to Kyle Williams.
Okay, very good. Ted, was cutting a bye week a good or bad move for the NFL?
I don't know. I would say I wish they had two teams that got bye weeks. I mean,
so bad move.
So bad move.
Okay.
At the end of the day.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Which regular season game prepared the Patriots the most for tonight's playoff game?
It's hard not to say that Baltimore game. I thought the Ravens game, you know, going to Baltimore, playing in that game after a tough loss against the Bills, I think they showed some gumption in that game. I think that got them ready. And I like the fact they got a couple kind of cupcakes to end the season. If you look at that 2018 season, those last two games kind of were tune-ups going into that playoff for them to go to the Super Bowl. So I kind of like that they had that tough test against Baltimore and then had those two cupcakes, and now they're ready to go.
All right, answer this however you want to, Ted. San Diego or L.A.?
Ooh, San Diego. The only problem with San Diego is everyone's there is from somewhere else. It's very transient.
Yeah.
So the people just don't care about the football as much because all the people that live there are fans of teams from somewhere else.
Ted, what is your favorite all-time Patriots playoff moment?
It's got to be, I think, that Colts game 2004. They were averaging like 500 yards offense, I don't know, 30 points, 5 points a game. And we held them to three points. Intercepted Peyton, three times?
Yeah.
I think may or may not, the sprinklers were left on overnight. I was still, I don't know, so the footing wasn't great for that team. But that was my favorite playoff memory, was beating Peyton the way we did in that playoff game.
Who on this team, Ted, deserves more credit than they got this year?
I think it's Craig Woodson. A lot of people, you don't hear
the
much
eraser.
About him. Yeah, I mean, fourth rounder plays more snaps than anybody on defense. He's fourth on the team in tackles. No interceptions. You don't see him really that much, but partly it's because he's doing his job, right? So, to me, Craig Woodson is a guy that doesn't get a lot of attention but deserves it.
Non-NFL question, Ted. Who you taking, the U or Indiana?
Ooh. You know what I read somewhere that's kind of interesting? Is that does Indiana have, like, maybe the oldest roster?
They have a lot of
– like, the average age is 23.
Yeah.
That's insane. Like,
that's supposed
insane.
To be in college at 23.
I mean,
they're all doctors. That's why.
Literally. But there's something fascinating to me about Indiana winning. It's a basketball school.
Oh, it's so good.
So to me, I have to lean Indiana. And I'm just curious. I want to know what the SIG is selling, because
I am enamored by him.
It's like a Parcells thing. You know, Parcells can make average players good and good players great. He gets them to play above what they're capable of. So does Cignetti. And I'd be curious what his methodologies are to get guys to play over the, over their skis.
And like he has such a confidence to him, like the Google me, all I do is win thing. Yeah. Like, just is that the closest like coach comp you could come up with? Like Parcells and Cignetti, very
because
similar.
It's got to be. It's because it's a you strict kind of schedule. It's details. You put a lot on the guys. You expect a lot. You hold them accountable, but you also love them up. You're not. It's not like just you beat them down. You beat them down and then you build them back up. That's the kind of style I think he has.
I like Miami season, and like I've really enjoyed
great
watching
season.
That. They're playing great, and they're coming up with these great wins. Indiana is dismantling these teams.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It just, Oregon didn't look like they belonged on the field.
They dominated Oregon.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
If I'm a aspiring head coach and want to play, I would learn his methodology. 100%. I would want to know everything he does and see what he's doing to get these players to play like that.
Yeah, he's just getting 24-year. He's getting guys who are already pros, basically.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Total
right.
Go back to school.
Total curveball for you. Do you like Fernando Mendoza in the NFL?
I mean, I'm
probably going to be the first overall
pick.
I'm
the worst at trying to figure out college football players transitioning to the NFL. But, yeah, I mean, I think so, yeah. I mean, he's going
to the Raiders, so.
Yeah, that's going to be tough, Bob.
Yeah.
But he's got the mindset.
Poor kid.
I mean, he's kind of like, you know, he's got the whole thing as far as being a leader of a team and how he presents himself. I think he's probably going to be worthy of the number one overall pick.
All right, real quick, just while we're on that subject, I don't know if you saw the thing with Stephen A. Smith and Garrett Wilson, mm-hmm. and him saying, "Oh, you know, no one's going to want to get drafted by the Jets." Was that a thing? Like, are there teams that you're like, "Oh God, you know, I'd rather not get drafted.
Oh,
I'd rather
sit
back a year."
You haven't heard my Bengals story where I
have heard this. I should have thought of that beforehand.
Bengals. So yeah, there's teams guys do not want to play for whatever reason. For me, in my time, it was the Bengals. I hated the Bengals. I just thought it was just a crappy team, crappy uniforms, just losing team. And
that
I did not
crappy
want to play
chili with the spaghetti on it. That they eat. Yeah,
so
gross.
They worked me out at pro day, and I tanked the workout. Man,
that's awesome.
That's awesome. All right, Ted Johnson, good stuff as
great
always.
Job,
that
Teddy.
Is top
Enjoy
ten
guys.
List.
Thank you.
Hopefully,
very much.
It's not the last one.
I
don't think
God,
it will
no.
be. Teddy's got to go. He's got to go do TV, and that means it's just us, you and me, Shime,
Woo!
The two guys who are not ready for the camera. That's for sure.
Pants off.
And we'll be here for the remainder of the show. We'll do a little bit more review and preview of this game, and then we'll have our degenerate gambling hour as well. A lot of prop bets coming up. Don't go anywhere. Here's Chris Schein with What's Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Here's What's Trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com. Your New England Patriots, they're welcoming in the LA Chargers for Wild Card Weekend Showdown tonight. Kickoff at 8:20. It is so good to have playoff football back in Foxborough. Eagles Niners currently underway. We're just inside of 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The Eagles are driving down one. 17-16. San Francisco leads currently against the Philadelphia Eagles. We had two Saturday games yesterday. The Rams beat the Panthers 34-31 thanks to a touchdown pass from Matthew Stafford to Colby Parkinson with 38 seconds left in the game. And then the Chicago Bears got the W. They bared down and beat the Packers 31-27, overcoming a 21-3 deficit at the half. The one game we've had so far this afternoon, Buffalo and Jacksonville. The Bills scored with about a minute left on a Josh Allen quarterback sneak to take the lead and lock down the win. They beat the Jaguars 27-24. The final wild card game will be tomorrow night in Pittsburgh as the Steelers host the Texans. The Boston Bruins currently underway at the Garden. We're into the third period here, about halfway through the third period, and the Bruins lead the Penguins 1-0. And the Celtics lost to the Spurs yesterday 100-95. They'll be off to Indiana to take on the Pacers tomorrow night. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mike Vrabel, New England Patriots, In his first season as their head coach, Drake May's second season as their quarterback, back in the playoffs for the first time since 2021. Before that, it was 2018. It was the Super Bowl year. Or no, sorry, it was 2019, the year after the Super Bowl, where they got beat by Mike Vrabel in the wild card round. Wild card round against Buffalo. They got their doors blown off. And now here we are in the wild card round again with very different expectations for this team. And I think people expecting a very different outcome just specifically in this game. I want to get back to sort of the idea here, Shime, that this is what the Chargers wanted. The Chargers wanted to come to New England. They had a chance to go out there, play their starters. There's been two schools of thought, I think, when it comes to this. Number one being that, yeah, they wanted the Patriots. Number two being they didn't really care who they played. They just wanted to get everyone healthy. I consider that to be not any different from the first thing. They didn't care who they played. Okay, mm-hmm. So then they didn't care if they played the Patriots.
Correct.
That's basically what you're saying, right? And I don't know. I mean, maybe the Jaguars would have been a tough matchup for him, too. That was a great game by them. They ended up coming up short, but really a tremendous game. All of these wild card games
have been awesome.
Awesome so far. And last year, they were all ass kickings. Every single game, we just went over them in the break. Every single game was like a 3-score game last year.
There was one game that was a one possession finish, and it was Washington and Tampa Bay. Outside of that, everything else was 12 points or more.
That's amazing. I mean, really, that's quite a turnaround from last season. And I think that speaks a lot to, we said this all year, how the AFC is so open, and even the NFC is like pretty open this year. It really is, and you're seeing that play out, I think, here in this wild card weekend. Obviously, there's only the one bye week, so everyone else has to play each other. But even with that, you know, like, you're having the 2 seed go here with the Patriots, and the 7 seed wanted the 2 seed. You know, the 7 seed was perfectly okay with that being their matchup, and I think that speaks a lot to just how the perception of the AFC and really the entire league being wide open is reality right now.
Yeah, and it's important to note, too, that at the time we didn't know who the 4 seed was going to be. I guess they could have just been like, well, we really don't want to play the Ravens. Yeah. We're fine with playing the Patriots or the Jaguars, I guess. So, like, we're just going to rest our guys and not even worry about it. And that's kind of what happened. They drew the Patriots. They were totally fine coming west to east and coming to New England and taking on Drake May, who has like really been yet to be figured out by any NFL defense. The Bills had the best performance against him, and even still, they still almost lost that game. They had to have a miraculous Josh Allen comeback in the second half in order to win that football game because the Patriots got out to such a big lead early. And so I just look at this Patriots offense, to me, is just, it's kind of the driving force. I still don't trust this defense, but I know that I trust Drake May. I know that I trust the running backs, and the offensive line has been good enough. Josh McDaniels has been in this position before plenty of times, and as much as I've given Josh McDaniels crap for play calling this year, like, that's the one advantage he brings, is he has been in this position as an offensive coordinator more than just about anybody else in the league.
Yeah, he absolutely has, and he's someone who's risen to the occasion many, many times. Now, obviously, that
it's
Mac
like
Jones
Brady.
Here, they got their asses kicked, but the fact that that was a 10-win team with Mac Jones in his rookie season is a huge testament, I think, to Josh McDaniels and his coaching ability and sort of his ability of working with young quarterbacks, which I think we've also seen play out very well so far this year. When it comes to the coaching matchup, we did talk a little bit about the coordinators and, you know, McDaniels going up against Minter and all of that. Let's just cut it right down the middle here. Harbaugh or Vrabel? Who gets the check mark?
Yeah, I think Vrabel's the better coach. I just, like, look, Harbaugh's been good, but, I mean, I think Justin Herbert at times is like a cyborg. He's so freaking talented, yeah. And yet they still can't win playoff games. Like, I don't know what it is about L.A. Maybe it's just the Chargers are just cursed, and they're just cursed to be the Chargers. But, like, I trust Mike Vrabel. I think Mike Vrabel is one of the most prepared coaches, if not the most prepared coach, on a week-to-week basis in the NFL. I think he understands how to feel a situation, when to go for it, when to take points, when to punt it away. He understands momentum. I don't know. I trust Mike Vrabel in a spot like this more than I do Jim Harbaugh.
I trust Vrabel a good deal, but Harbaugh's got the better resume, doesn't he? I mean, he's, you know, in the Niners. Like,
in the NFL?
The Super Bowl team. And 2 NFC championship games,
I guess,
in those 3 years with Kaepernick and, like, Alex Smith. So I don't know. I mean, I look at that and I think, yeah, you know, he went to college. He had a great career there at Stanford, too, and then comes back to the NFL. You're right. Last year was an awful game for the whole team, really. I mean, but that was an awful Justin Herbert game. I look at Harbaugh as someone that I think, like, Vrabel and his strengths are very well documented this year.
Yeah.
You know, his ability to sort of reach the players and motivate and do all of that stuff. I feel like Harbaugh does all that too, and also has a bit more pull when it comes to like X's and O's. Maybe than I associate with Vrabel.
No, you know, I don't. I think Jim Harbaugh is strictly like a player's coach. Yeah. I don't think he is as in tune with the X's and O's quite as much as Vrabel is to me, and that's a personal belief. I just think he has had a lot of talented players, especially like in San Francisco. That team was wildly talented.
They were good, yeah.
When they went to the Super Bowl, and they lost in the Super Bowl. Like, Mike Vrabel's been to an AFC Championship game with Ryan freaking Tannehill.
Yeah.
Like, that to me, like, that
he went to the Super Bowl with Kaepernick. It's not like he was great.
Yeah, but Kaepernick,
you know,
was awesome that year.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
He was really good.
Yeah.
He was, like, insanely talented, and that offense was, like, really, really good. Frank Gore, I think, had, like, 1,500 yards for that team or something like that.
Vernon
so,
Davis was still there, right?
Yeah, I think so. So, like, that team was good. But again, I don't think Jim Harbaugh is a bad coach. I just think Vrabel's better.
Okay. How about Drake May versus Justin Herbert? I think we all give the check mark to Drake May, but how close is it?
It's close. I mentioned this to Ted earlier. Like, this is the guy you comped Drake May to kind of before he started to ascend and take off. This was kind of the idea of Drake May. It's a big, unbelievably athletic quarterback that can throw the ball a country mile. And that's kind of what it is. I think Herbert can take hits and take contact a lot better. I mean, the guy has played through a ridiculous amount of injuries. He's playing with a broken hand, basically, and he's still been really, really effective. And I think that's kind of the difference. But Drake May can kind of set himself apart with a playoff win, because Herbert has not been able to do that.
No, he hasn't. And not only that, but he's on the verge of his career taking a sharp turn.
Very bad.
You know,
turn.
Like, and he's still considered a top QB in the league, and everybody would love to have him on their team. But you go to the playoffs again, and I know that they're the 7 seed, and I know they're on the road, and all that's very true. And it also depends how you lose the game, too. Like, good loss versus a bad loss. We had a caller come in and say, you know, if the Patriots lose and Drake May has a monster game of 400 yards and 5 touchdowns and they lose in a shootout, how upset's everyone really going to be? I'll still be upset, because you shouldn't lose a game where Drake May does that, first of all. But I think with Herbert, you know, if he goes out there and lays another egg, then that's who he is, at least for 100%. Until, you know, for next season, until he proves otherwise. That's how people are going to look at him. Even if he puts up big numbers in the regular season, then all of a sudden it becomes, well, you're just a guy who puts up numbers in the regular season. And that's not something you want to be if you're a guy like Herbert, who has, you know, sights set on being a top QB.
A lot of people have kind of criticized Lamar Jackson for not winning in the playoffs. Like, it is way worse with Justin Herbert. Like, the guy hasn't won a playoff game. Lamar Jackson's been to an AFC Championship game. Yep. Came what, like a Isaiah Likely toe away from a Super Bowl or whatever it was, or his Zay Flowers fumble in the end zone away from a Super Bowl. Like, he has been so close, whereas Justin Herbert can't even get through the wild card round.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't even win his own division. That's how difficult it's been. Granted, he's had to go through Patrick Mahomes, but
not this
I
year
mean,
he didn't.
No, he didn't.
This
he had to go
Broncos,
through Bo Nix, and he couldn't do that. So, I think you're right. I think Herbert is on the edge of falling off a cliff when it comes to being talked about as one of the elite quarterbacks in football. He's really talented, but if you can't win in the playoffs, nobody cares.
Yeah, agree with that. And I think for the Patriots, too, even like, you know, Drake May, if he does have a big game and they end up losing, we'll be upset about it. But the future of the team and, you know, Drake May and how it all pertains to him, I think that's something that we'll all still be able to carry into the offseason and hope that the Patriots do the right thing and spend and, you know, surround them with more talent and get some edge rushers and do all that other stuff. But we're getting way ahead of ourselves here. A win tonight for the Patriots and moving on, we all know, would be obviously very big. A loss tonight means what, Chris Schein?
A loss means that those fool's gold people are going to get real loud. I don't know that it actually means anything for the team.
They already are pretty loud. I mean, they're already kind of obnoxious.
Yeah, but they're
going to
be No, they're not obnoxious yet. They're going to be obnoxious.
We're talking about one guy.
True. But, like, there's going to be more guys. More guys who think Cam Newton is right are going to start crawling out of the woodwork if the Patriots were to lose tonight. And I think that's kind of the big thing, is you're going to start facing the media narratives. That's kind of, like, the worst thing to come out of this game with a loss, is you're going to face all of those media narratives that, oh, you fattened up on a weak schedule. You were never actually competitive with the teams in the league, even though, you know, the Bills played basically the exact same schedule as you did. And
will those people have a point?
Maybe. I don't think so. Like, I just, I mean,
I think that based on the and I've been a part of this, so I can't like say it's other people doing it, but I think based on like the resistance, sort of the, you know, no, that's not what it is. It's not just that they had an easy schedule. We've all sort of fought that very hard.
Yeah.
Right? I've fought that very hard. First of all, I think it's a lazy narrative.
Very much
and it
so.
Doesn't make for like good radio to just say, oh yeah, it's an easy schedule and that's why they won all those games. But I also don't really believe it because it's the NFL.
Yeah.
And an
every
easy
game
schedule
is
an easy schedule. You were a bad team last year, and there's other teams that are good this year that had, you know, easy schedules too and didn't do what you did. I just, you know, like they played all these same teams and didn't have the numbers that Drake May had against the Jets or against whoever. Like, yeah, the Jets aren't very good, but what the Patriots did this year was special.
Well, and I think the difference is, right, is you look back, the greatest show on turf, they had, Jones and I talked about this on his show, like they had one of the easiest schedules in NFL history, but they went on and accomplished things in the playoffs. So they justified being a really, really talented and really good football team, and they ended up having Hall of Famers on the roster. And so you can do that, but I don't think you can do a ton of actual damage to your team if you lose the game. Like, again, the media narratives will be out there, and like Tom Curran said, so what? I guess theoretically he's right. It's going to be obnoxious and annoying, but at the same time, the Patriots have accomplished way more than we thought they would this season. They have taken massive, massive steps in the right direction. And as long as you continue to build on that and not have what happened to the Commanders happen to you next year, then it doesn't really matter what kind of the outcome of this game.
What's the main thing that worries you tonight? I got mine, but what's yours?
The main thing, the secondary and the pass, well, just the defense as a whole, I think. It's just I'm afraid Justin Herbert's going to throw for like 330 yards and four touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm worried that that's going to happen per se. Like a huge game for him, I think is possible. But I don't know. I look at the Patriots offense, and as great as May's been, that is a team that plays zone. They don't blitz very much. They sit back there and they kind of dare you to go downfield because they got their guys back there. And I just, you know, as great as Drake May's been this year, that's been such a huge part of what's made this offense so good. That's what's given him those crazy numbers. His deep ball numbers are ridiculous because of that element of his game. And I just, if a team like the Chargers, who are well coached and have the personnel to be able to do it, can take that away, What do they do? How do they compensate for
but
that?
I think in this later half of the year, teams have tried to take it away.
They have.
And
but were they good
at
defense as LA's? I mean, you know, that's sort of where I'm at.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. You know, the defenses haven't been quite as good. I mean, that Buffalo game was probably the best defense. I mean, they are the best pass defense in the league.
Yep.
They're the hardest defense you're going to face all year, and they did a really good job at taking a lot of those deep shots away in the second half because in the first half, they couldn't stop the run. Travion Henderson takes it to the house. Drake May's running up and down the football field, and they get off to a big lead. But in that second half, I think that's kind of what may make you nervous, but I don't think the Chargers defense is that good. I don't – like, they're stingy and they're well-coached, but I don't know that they're that talented. They're not Philly. They're not they're not even Buffalo's pass defense. They're not Houston. They're not even Denver. And I think Denver can be scored on. Like, I don't fear this Chargers defense at all.
They're a very good bend but don't break defense, right, would you say?
Yeah.
But I think that bend but don't break defense is the Patriots were a bend but don't break defense for 20 years. I mean, you know, like that can really get you a long way. And if you're turning touchdowns into field goals and field goals into punts, then, you know, like that's just, I think that's a very underrated sort of aspect to all of this, and something that, to what you were saying, I'm not sure the Patriots are. I'm not sure the Patriots are a bend but don't break defense.
No, they're
an adjustment type of defense. You know, they'll bend and break, and then they'll make adjustments.
Yeah,
and
true.
Maybe not, you know?
Yeah, it's their big thing. Their big thing is, and Ted has pointed this out time and time again, like, they'll get you off the field on a third down, but if you get inside the red zone, you're getting seven.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. You need to hold Justin Herbert out of the red zone as many times as possible. Otherwise, it's going to be a long, long night for that defense, and you're going to be asking a lot of your young quarterback who's never started a playoff game.
Who is the X factor for the Patriots on their roster? It's one guy.
It's Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
It is Stephon Diggs. He has owned prime time so far this year. When the lights have been their brightest, he has been really, really good. And if he can continue to do that, he loves zone defenses. He understands where to find the holes. And if Drake May and him are on the same page as they've been many, many times this year, Stephon Diggs may have a massive, massive night against his defense.
Yeah, I'd like to think that. I think that he has been such an important safety blanket and big play guy for May, too. And I love when you have a guy who can be both of those things.
Yeah.
Like Edelman early in his career was both of those things. He became more of a safety blanket as his career went on. But I think that Diggs right now is in that rare kind of, you know, hybrid between those two things. And that's so important for a young quarterback. I think tonight is going to be a big night for Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry against the zone.
Against, you know, Derwin James.
Against Derwin James, potentially, against, you know, whoever's out
teammate.
there, linebacker. It's a revenge game for him, right? He used to play for that team. And I just sort of think the way they drop back, the way they stay in the zone, the way they don't really blitz all that much, that's an opportunity for a guy like Henry to either go over the middle or go up the seam or something like that. And I think that there's just a real opportunity for him in that he's so good around the zone. So is Diggs. It's not like he isn't. But I also think that there have been teams that have really focused on trying to take Diggs out of the offense. And sometimes it's worked. Sometimes that's happened. If that happens, then I feel like that frees up someone like Hunter Henry.
I also think it's so weird, not weird, but it's so great the way this team is built in that May is so, so good against man coverage because when he sees one-on-one, he puts the ball in the best position for his guy to make a play, and he can beat you with his legs because he's so unbelievably athletic. But the receivers and the weapons are so good against zone. They kind of balance him out in a way that makes this offense so hard to defend because guys like Diggs and Hunter Henry, as you mentioned, are just so good against finding those areas in the zone where they can just sit down and be ready and be open and available for their quarterback. And so I think that's what the variable that this offense can provide on any given night, I think, is kind of the overall X factor.
All right, this is one weird sort of thing I just started thinking about last night, and it should be something that we're celebrating, but now it's something that's kind of crawled into my head as a potential issue tonight.
Uh-oh.
And that is the draft class and how great the draft class has been. Because we all agree this is maybe an all-time draft class here for this Patriots team. Everybody's contributing. Everybody's gotten on the field and done something. Mm-hmm. And some guys have stepped into starting roles or very important. Travion Anderson, in the rotation. But he was the lead back. Wilson, Campbell. Woodson. Yeah, all those guys. Borgalis was a rookie this year. Like, you have all these guys doing all these things. But it also means all of these rookies
are playing in a playoff game.
For the first time.
Yeah.
And that, 100%. Right? Doesn't that?
Well, because all these rookies had to play, not because they were better than everybody else, but out of necessity.
Yeah.
There's no depth on this roster. Like, Craig Woodson had to play every single snap of every single game because there's nobody else to play safety.
You traded all the
on
safeties
this team.
Away.
You got rid of Jabril Peppers and Kyle Duggar, and it's just like him, Jalen Hawkins, and then Del Pettis. Like, the safety depth is not very thick on this team. And so that's kind of been why they've had to play so much, but at the same time, they've gotten a lot of valuable reps, and I think that's one of the best things to do in football. To get better, you just need to play. You need to be able to play, and they have played more than any other rookies in football. I mean, the Patriots have played rookies, I think, the fourth most in football. The three teams above them are all less than five-win teams. It's like the Titans and the Browns and teams like that. This team has, I think the beauty of it is they have Drake May there to kind of lead the charge, and then the rookies have just, they've stepped into the role and they've played it well.
Yeah, they certainly have. And Drake May is not a rookie, but he kind of, you know, like, this is his first full season. He's the same age as all these guys, you know, like, it's very much like, okay, you know, I'm one of you. I'm not exactly a rookie like you are, and he hasn't played in the playoff game either. It's his first playoff game, too. So that may end up being a thing that they're all able to either overcome together, or maybe it, you know, takes a toll. Who knows? Maybe it works for some guys and not for others, but you got, you know, your starting left tackle is a rookie. Your starting left guard and a guy in Henderson, who I think is going to play a big role in the offense tonight. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine he doesn't. You know, that's his first time out there. And, you know, we'll see.
Do you think they lean on Ramondre early a little bit more because of that? Because it's Henderson's first time in the playoffs, because it's a big spot, they'll go with the veteran to start early?
I would, and also just because Henderson's been so hot. You know, I mean, he's just been so awesome. He's been one of the best. He was the offensive player of the week last week. And, yeah, it was the Dolphins who quit, but still.
Doesn't
I mean,
matter.
that was a tremendous performance by him. All right, we got one more segment to go here.
Oh, boy.
And we are going to get real degenerate. We got all the prop bets you could possibly want coming your way here in the Degenerate Gambling Hour as we close things out on Football Sunday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
That is Josh McDaniels, and we got Josh McDaniels' number one fan, Chris Scheim, right here with me. It's a final segment here, Football Sunday, WEEI. And real quick, before we get to our picks and all of that, I wanted to just remind everybody who the inactives are tonight, and more importantly, who they are not. Jeremiah Webb out, Braden Swinson, Marcus Bryant, Caden Wallace, C.J. Dupree, DJ Dupree and Kyrus Tonga are out. Tommy DeVito is your emergency third quarterback, but more importantly, that means Kayshon Booty playing, Harold Landry playing, Jared Wilson will be playing, and Robert Spillane is going to be playing tonight as well. Don't know what status they're at, if they're 100% or not, but they will be in uniform, they will be out on the field, and they will be available on offense and defense, respectively, which is a big deal, especially in the case of Kayshon Booty. That offense, I think, is different without him out there. And without any further ado, let's get down to it. It is time to get real greasy up in here with the Degenerate Gambling Hour.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is the time of the show when we get real degenerate.
I'll take the Browns and the points at +8.5.
So give me Geno and the Raiders.
I can't bet against Indiana Jones.
I'll take Tennessee.
You are a degenerate.
Yes. Yes!
I think it's an easy, easy Chargers bet.
So it's a terrible game, but it's the perfect game to bet.
I'm not sure. Have you, like, played football?
No, Mac Jones, not for a while. Not since I was the backup gunner on the freshman team back in 1997, I guess. Nice. Have I actually put on pads and played football, and I wasn't very good back then, but...
Sick brag, bro.
Thank you very much, Thomas. That's not going to stop either myself nor Chris Scheim from opining here on the best picks for the game tonight. But before we do that, the Philadelphia Eagles title defense is over in wild card weekend. They lose to the San Francisco 49ers. That offense could not make the comeback. It was a weekend for comebacks. I mean, you saw comebacks all over the place.
Yep.
The Rams, the Bears, et cetera, the Bills, all these big comebacks. And then here come the Eagles, the reigning champs. And that thing stalled right out. The Niners are moving on, and we have the bracket set, yes?
That is correct. The NFC side of the bracket is officially set. So next weekend, we will have the Seattle Seahawks hosting the San Francisco 49ers in a rematch of that Week 18 game to determine the number one overall seed. And then we will have the Chicago Bears, the number two seed, hosting the five seed Rams as well on divisional weekend.
Okay, very good. Without any further ado, let's get into some props here. We're just going to do Patriots and Chargers. Not going to talk about the game tomorrow night or anything like that, because why bother? And do you want to start with just regular picks, or do you want to get down with the props first?
Let's get down with the props first, right, man. I'm a prop king.
We'll
they
do
call
some
me
props first.
They call me Mary Proppins, baby. We're back. I got a couple of them that I love. I'll start my favorite one of the night. Give me Aronde Gadsden. 34 plus receiving yards, over 33.5, whatever your book's got. I just think against this linebacking core and against the safety core, the tight ends have been a problem, and Gadsden will continue to do that against the Patriots. So give me Aronde Gadsden, over 33.5 receiving yards.
Gadsden has not had a majorly big year, but he's definitely a good receiving tight end, and yeah, I like that. I like that pick a lot. I am going to go with the Mego special. Whenever Mego goes gotta inside the locker room and talks to somebody, that person goes out and makes a play. Pop Douglas was the guy today, and I believe, unless there was an adjustment due to the Mego bump, he's at plus 700 for an anytime touchdown, Pop Douglas.
Oh, wow. That's a great for you. I saw him at plus 475. I have him plus 450 right here in front of me.
Oh, is that right? All right, maybe that must
depends,
have moved then.
Some depends
they,
where
they heard
looking
about the Mego bump, I guess.
Yeah, the other Pop Douglas prop I would look at, though, longest reception over 15.5.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. Longest reception over 15.5. What book has that one?
That would be DraftKings.
All right, very good. Here's another one I like. Ramondre Stevenson. You can combo rush and receiving yards. And on FanDuel right now, or maybe it was, this was yesterday when I wrote these down, the over-under on that was 56.5.
That's it.
And I love that over.
Yeah, so, I see 55.5, so that's okay. Still in play.
Rushing and love receiving that yards combined. I guess they're not expecting much from him. If you look at him and Travion Henderson, they have different lines for touchdowns,
so
yards, and everything else. I'm shocked that they don't have either the same lines or Stevenson, considering he's going to be the starter, getting a little bit more love. But that's the way
they're
doing it.
Because they also have the season average right here, 67.5 receiving and rushing yards he's averaged per game this year, and yet the line's only 55. I like that a lot, Arcan. Well done by you. Good find.
Thank you.
Because I just like Stevenson rushing prop.
Yeah.
Like, ladder it up. You can get it. I mean, once you hit 40, you're already getting it at plus money. So you can go like 40, 60, 80, 100. I think that's a great way to do it for Ramondre tonight. I think he has a big night. Also, just a touchdown, plus 150 for Ramondre Stevenson to score a touchdown tonight. He has been red hot. I expect that to continue.
Very good. I like a couple of sack bets.
Ooh.
Pause. But the two I like, Kalavon Chasen at 134, and Landry last I saw was at like 152.
Okay.
And either one of those I'd sprinkle a little bit on there right now, just because that offensive line is so suspect that you think there's going to be some sacks coming from somewhere. And I'd imagine that the two edge guys would have a first crack at it,
yeah,
at the very least.
I mentioned him earlier. I love Stephon Diggs tonight. Stephon Diggs to have a 100-yard game is 5-1, plus 500. Love that for Stephon Diggs. His over-under number is still only like, it's like 57, over under 57.5 yards. I love the over for Stephon Diggs. I think he thrives against zone defenses, and that's exactly what the Chargers want to play.
Very good. Here's one for the Chargers that I like. Ladd McConkey over 3.5 receptions.
Okay.
I think that seems like pretty reasonable for him. I know that Allen and Johnson are both guys. They all had about 700 yards this year, 700 plus yards. I don't think anybody cracked that, but went over 700 or into 800, I guess. But that's sort of where I'm at with him. I think that he'll be the safety blanket there. And if Gonzalez isn't guarding him one on one and they shade people over, then that could free up some of these other guys. But I think they're just going to go straight up. And McConkey, he might not make a lot of big plays, but I think he'll catch at least four balls.
Arcand, the biggest bet, the best bet to make every week against the New England Patriots is you go look at the first drive result for the,
yep,
Los Angeles Chargers. A touchdown for the Chargers to score a touchdown in their opening drive is almost 3-1, plus 292 right now. I see it in front of me. I will be betting the Chargers to score a touchdown on their first drive.
Very good. Here's a game special that I like. Drake May to record 100 or more passing yards in each half.
Oh.
Right now is
okay.
plus 120. And I think that is very reasonable.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty reasonable thing there. 200 yards is nothing for Drake May. The only thing is, if they go up big and stop throwing, then that could be an issue. I'm just not convinced that they're going to go up big.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be up big enough to stop throwing. I think they're going to continue to have to throw, so I like that a lot. I also think my initial lean in this game was over. I'm kind of like, I've been wavering a little bit just with how windy it is. I'm just going to stick with it, ride with it. Each team to score a touchdown and a field goal in each half, 13-1.
Okay. And finally, -3.5. You have you like New England?
I'll lay it with New England. Give me New England to win 27-21.
Okay. I'm going New England 31-17.
Ooh,
I think they
win
by two touchdowns, but
love
I think
that.
It's like garbage time they had the last one.
Okay.
And it'll be close up until then.
Love it.
Close like one score,
yeah,
difference. And there you go. That is the Degenerate Gambling Hour here with myself and Chris Scheimer. You
great
can
job,
hear every
Arcan.
Morning on the Greg Hill Show. Don't think this is going to be our last show, but in the event that it is, Thomas, it's been great. We're glad to have you back in America, by the way. You were stranded in Aruba when World War III broke out there. And so there you go. All right, stick around. We'll have Greg Hill Show tomorrow morning, of course, and the Six Rings podcast after the game, Six Rings postgame show after the game right here on WEEI. This has been Football Sunday. Enjoy the game, everybody. Good night now.
Let's go, Drag May!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.